Morning, Boker Tov. Today's daf is Pesachim daf Samach Ches. Pesachim daf Samach Ches. We get a little bit of Agadah on today's Gemara. We left off in the middle of a conversation of various tumas and which machanas the people who are tame have to leave. Remember, we have Klai Yisrael is divided into three machanas. There's machna Shechina, machna Levia, machna Yisrael. In the time of the Beis Hamikdash, the machna Shechina was the Azara, the Heichal itself, that was the Machna Shechina. The Machna Levi is the Har Habayis in general, the Har Habayis. And the Machna Yisrael is anywhere outside of the Har Habayis, the whole rest of the city, that's really considered the Machna of Yisrael. Times the Mishkan, it was a little bit different. There was the Kodesh and in the Mishkan was the Machna Shechina. The area right around the Mishkan was the Machna Levia, and the area around that was the Machna Yisrael. Okay, so when you have these three levels, Machna Shechina, Machna Levia, Machna Yisrael, so we've said as follows. We've said that the person who's Tamei Tumas Meis has to leave the Machna Shechina. That's it. Machna Levia, he can remain inside Machna Levia. We said even a Meis itself, Moshe Rabbeinu had a Meis Ima Mechitzasai. He had Yosef's bones with him. Moshe Rabbeinu was a Levi, Machna Levia, and he had Yosef's bones with him. A Tamei Meis can be in Machna Levia, just cannot be in Machna Shechina. And we said Tamei Sheretz is the same. We said that a Zav has to leave not only Machna Shechina, he also has to leave Machna Levia as well. He has to leave two Machnas. He has to leave Machna Shechina and Machna Levia, but he could remain in the general Machna Yisrael. We then said that the Mesira, who's the most chamer, he has to leave all three machnas, but the Yashav, he dwells alone, he has to leave Machna Shechina, Machna Levia, and Machna Yisrael. He's got to be out of all the machnas. He has to be outside of all three encampments. That was the general conversation yesterday. More specifically, we ended off with the discussion of where Balkeri slides in. Balkeri, so is a Balkeri compared to a Zav, and a Zav has to leave two machnas, Machna Shechina, Machna Levia, and therefore Balkeri also has to leave two machnas, or Balkeri maybe not, Balkeri maybe only has to leave one machna. So the Gemara compared Balkeri to Zav, saying they asked the two machnas, but the Gemara asked a question that we have a braisa that seems to compare. It says Balkeri is kemagas sheretz, like one who touches the sheretz. One who touches the sheretz, we know, only leaves one machna. So isn't that braisa saying that Balkeri only has to leave one machna? That was the question we left off with right at the end of the day. So the Gemara answered, no, it was comparing Balkeri to magas sheretz, to one who touches the sheretz, legabe the length of tuma. One who touches the sheretz is the same as Balkeri, is tummy only for one day, not 7 days. Ask the Gemara. You need a Mishnah to make that comparison. It's black and white psukim. By both of them, it says Tumas Erev, Tum of one day by both. Why don't you tell me that the Sheretz is that the Balkeri is like the Magna Sheretz? If not for the fact that it's telling me that he only has to leave one camp, Machna Shechina, and not Machna Levia, and Balkeri is not like a Zav, like the Gemara was suggesting. That was the Gemara's question. The Gemara says no. The Gemara says no. Really, I'll tell you that it's telling, the Pasuk is telling me the Tum is only for one day. It's telling me a comparison between the Tumah of Balkeri and the Tumah of Sheretz. That the Tumah of one day that we know for the Pesukim, you're right. We were learning another din. The din we were learning at was that it's Tumah. The Tumah takes effect even ba'inus. Just like someone who touches the Sheretz, whether it happened by mistake or on purpose, the bottom line is the fact that you touch the Sheretz makes him Tumah, even though it's Ainus. So too, Balkeri is Tumah for the day, even if it's ba'inus, make no chalukim. By Vizal, we start to begin to evolve whether it's Ainus or not, but by Balkeri, we don't make any chalukim whether it's Ainus. Okay, so we left off with the last word on the page, Samach Zayin and Beis, last word, Meisvei. Well, up to now, Samaches Manalf on top word of the page, Bayal Nida. So we're asking a question again, further to this conversation that we've established. We've taken on that a Balkeri is treated like a Zav who has to leave two machnas, Machna Shechina, Machna Levia. We asked the question, which we just spoke at on purpose, the whole Shachar V'Tarya, that the Balkeri is compared to the Magas Sheretz, one who touches the Sheretz in the Braisa, and we thought it means that he has to leave only one machna, like the Magas Sheretz. We deflected and said, no, it's comparable to the Magas Sheretz in that Tumas takes effect even by an Einus, but they're different in that a Magas Sheretz only has to leave one machna, whereas the Balkeri has to leave two machnas. We're sticking with that Yisayid. Ask the Gemara, Bayal Nida, someone with Bayal Nida, that means a person who had relations with a Nida. Nidu knows Tamei, of course, 7 days. The Chiddush is a person who's Bayal Nida is also Tamei for 7 days. The Lach is, says the Braisa, Bayal Nida is Ketamei Meis. A person who's Bayal Nida, this is part of the same, sorry, I called it a Braisa, it's a Mishnah. This is part of the same Mishnah that said that the Balkeri is like someone who touches the Sheretz, Magas Sheretz. Mishnah continues and says that a Bayal Nida is like a tamei meis. Now, lemai, legabi, what din is that mishnah comparing the balnida to the person who's balnida to a someone who's tamei tumas meis? Ilem l'tumasam, if it's comparing it legabi the length of tuma 7 days, which is indeed true, they're both tamei 7 days. But again, hay tumas shiviksiv bei, hay tumas shiviksiv bei. Both of them are explicit psukim. There's explicit psukim listing the length of tuma by tumas meis and by a balnida. So what if? Why would you need a mishnah to tell me these two are tamei the same amount of time? Both of them are clear in the psukim. None of them needs a further elaboration. Ella lamai, we're comparing the belnida to the tumas mace to tell me about which machnas has to leave. Meaning, just like the mace only has to leave one machna, like we started off with today, we explained that tumas mace only has to leave machna shchina, so too belnida only has to leave one machna. That must be the point of that part of the mishnah. And now the Gemara takes a step further. If that part of the mishnah is comparing belnida to Tama Meis in order to teach me dinim with regards to how many machnas one has to leave. So go back on the earlier part of the mission, which compared Balkari to Tumas Magasheretz, touching Gasheretz, and say there too, it was a comparison for purposes of how many machnas one has to leave. And we're back to having a kasha, the Balkari, Oshon has to leave one machna, not two. When we the Seif, Lamachnasam, for the fact that the Seif is referring to making comparisons of Bael Nidah to Tumas Meis, Legabi, how many machnas you have to leave, Have. So Reisha Nami, Lamachnasam, so isn't it, wouldn't that be indicative of the Reisha also talking about how many machnas? Gemara says, no. Midiri Hakadisa Hakadisa. Why does it have to be that everything in the Mishnah is going with the same paintbrush? The Mishnah is making comparisons within Tuma. Some comparisons are with regards to how many machnas one has to leave. Other comparisons are, like we said, Sheretz to Balkari, with regards to the fact that it's Metame, even minus. Not all the comparisons have to parallel in what we're comparing. Meisve. Ask the Gemara again. A question on this, on our assumption. We've been assuming that Balkari is the same as a Zav and has to leave two machnas. Ask the Gemara, Mitzayra Chamer Mizav. We have a Braisa that says Mitzayra is more Chamer than Zav, the Zav Chamer Mitam Meis. A Mitzayra is more Chamer than Zav, Zav Chamer Mitam Meis. In this base, where we just lined up when we gave our Akdama today, and the Mitzayra has to leave all three camps, Zav has to leave two camps, and Tam Meis only has to leave one camp. Okay. Yatza, that's just a nice chazar of what we already know. Yatza Balkari, Shemitame, Shetame Meis, Yatza Balkari, Shetame Meis Chamer Menu. Now the Braisa says Balkari is excluded because the Tamei Meis is more chomer than a Balkari. Now my Yatza, what does the Braisa mean when it's saying that Yatza Balkari, that it's excluded because the Tamei Meis is more chomer than it? What's it coming to? What's it excluded from? Lav Yatza Mechal Zav Uba Mechal Tamei Meis. The Tamei Meis Chomer Menu Umut Machal Avia. L'Chomer, there's a very simple explanation of what's going on over here. We listed that you have Metzer is the most chomer, then Zav, then Tumas Meis. So, and Mitzvah has to leave three machnas, Zav two machnas, and Tumas Meis one machna. And then we say that Yatza Balkari, because Tumas Meis is more chomer than Balkari. So wouldn't that be that the Braisa is saying Yatza Balkari from the Parsha of Zav, don't compare Balkari to Zav and say has to leave two machnas, rather Yatza and only leave one machna, because Tumas Meis, which is more chomer than Balkari, has to only leave one machna. So Balkari itself, presumably, only has to leave one machna, and it's a kasha, it's a riot, not like what we're saying. We've been assuming Balkari is like a Zav. Here we say that it's excluded. It's different than a Zav. Says the Gemara, no, lo yatsa machna tam meis. What it means is that he's excluded from the camp of a tam meis for nichas machna Zav. Hagufa. The Balkari is excluded from the category of people that leave the machna, only machna shchina, namely tumas meis. And he's included in the category of Zav, that's leave two machnas. The afagav, the Tamei Meis, Chomer Menu. And what the Baisa meant to say was, even though Tamei Meis is indeed more Chomer than Tumas Balkari, Legabe leaving the machnas, the Tamei Meis is Mutter Machlavia, and Balkari is not. And the more elaborates, Fagav Tamei Meis, Chomer Menu, Mutter Machlavia, even though Tamei Meis is more Chomer than Balkari, and Tamei Meis is Mutter Machlavia, still, Balkari, we're not going to say is Mutter Machna Levia from a Kol Shekein from a Tumah Meis. Rather, it makes sense to compare it to something which is more similar. Namely, we compare a Tumah Yetz Begufa of Keri to Tumah Yetz Begufa of Ziva, and we say they both have to leave both Machnas, like we said before. Okay. Says the Gemara right there. Tani Tana Kamei Der Yitzchak
Rabbi Dini. What's the Chumrah of Tumah Meis Legabe?
I mean, Tumah Meis is Tumah 7 days. Whereas Balkari is only talking for one day, the tumah of Tumas Meis is right is more chomer general over Balkari, but not legabi how many machnas you have to leave. So far we towards the end of yesterday's year the Gemara established the marbord of Shita that held that Tumas Balkari is similar to Tumas Zav that has to leave two machnas, and we had various questions which we've we successfully answered. Now the Gemara is going to say the same din again, but with a different source. So the Gemara is saying the same din, that Balkari is treated like a Zav, he has to leave two machnas. But we're just bringing a new source now. Tani Tanaka made the Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, who was torn in Baisa in the presence of Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, Vyatza, and Michutz the Machna, Zumach Hashchin. The Pasuk says that, this is talking about Balkari. Vyatza, Michutz the Machna has to leave the Machna. Which Machna is leaving? Machna Hashchin. Loyavel al techa machna, he cannot go into the inside of the machna. What's that referring to? Is a machna levia? So we have two psukim excluding from machnas, and we say therefore it's come to exclude and they have to leave two machnas, namely machna shchina and machna levia. So that's a raya that he's treating. Mekalim Balkari says Gemara, Mekalim Balkari shiyotze chutz shtei machnas. There's a raya that Balkari has to be outside of two machnas. Listen, you know, the truth, before we go further, actually, I neglected to speak out an important conversation on Bayal Nida. We brought a Bayal Nida as a side point. We brought a Bayal Nida towards the page to quote the Mishnah that compares Bayal Nida to Tumas Meis. We try to use that as a proof that we're comparing the different Tumas for purposes of how many machnas you have to leave and not for other purposes. And we said, you have no proof. Different parts of the Mishnah are comparing different Nida for different reasons. But just to go back to Bayal Nida status, we know Nida is similar to Zav Yelades, which is a Tumi Yetzim Gufay, and that's a Mohammed Dekatama. That we know, that's simple. What's the status of a Bayal Nida? Is a Bayal Nida, do we say that since he's getting his Tumah because he was Bayal Nida, therefore he's Mohammed, he's like a Tumi Yetzim Gufay, it's a Mohammed Dekatama? Or do you say no? It's like Bayal Nida is like anyone else that comes, someone touches the Nida, someone comes in contact with the Nida, is Tame from Maganida. That Maganida certainly is no question that someone who touches Nida is just, it's not Tumi Yetzim Gufay, it's an outside Tumah. It's like touching a mace, it's like touching a sheretz, it's an outside Tumah. That's not Tumi Yetzim Gufay. So the shell is Bayal Nida, does that get upgraded to like a Tumei Yetzim Gufay or not? So it seems to be a machlokes in the Rishonim. Tosfos and Yuma, Tosfos Ma'ikatan writes that Bayal Nida is not a Tumei Yetzim Gufay, which we can easily understand. It's not Yetzim from his Guf. It's because he Nebuch had Bia with a Nida, but it wasn't. It's not a Tumei Yetzim Gufay, and therefore Tosfos says it wouldn't be part of that category. However, the Radvaz debates that maybe it would be considered Tumei Yetzim Gufay, and he actually brings that's Rambam Shita. Rambam Shita is, according to Radvaz, that Rambam argues, Zaisfus holds, that the Bayal Nida has a status of a Tumei Yetzim Gufay. A basic nafkamina is, the halacha is, that Chumas Chutzlaretz. Chumas Chutzlaretz, right, is only the Rabbanan. So someone who is Tumei, a stamped, a regular Tumma, a not a Tumma Yetzim Gufay, can partake in Chumas Chutzlaretz. Someone's Tumma Tumma Yetzim Gufay, a Mohammed Tumma, cannot partake in Chumas Chutzlaretz. Really, any Chumma that we discuss, Lagabi Tumma Yetzim Gufay, would be a Nafkamina. According to Rambam, was treating a Bayal Nida like a Tumma Yetzim Gufay, according to Tosfos, we're not. So, Rabbi Aaron Cutler, Zatzal, in Mishnah Rabbi Aaron, it's brought down that Rashi and Yuma Dav Zayin also is Meduyik, like Rambam, that Tumma's Bayal Nida is a tumma, is like a tumma that is considered a yetzim gufay, because he writes over there, Rashi says, that it's not deicha b'tzibur. We know that, and the klal is, that tumma's hayetzim gufay, even when rei b'tzibur have that tumma, we don't say tumma is nitcha because of the tzibur. We say the tumma is too strong, and the carbon, you cannot do bring a carbon b'tzibur when the haminam is tummy with a tumma a yetzim gufay. If it's tumma's hayetzim gufay, then we say tumma b'tzibur. So Rashi puts Tumas Bayal Nida in that category of things that are not Nitzchus B'Tzibur. Seemingly Rashi agrees to Rambam, Radvaz is taking Rambam, that Bayal Nida has a status of a Tumei Yetzim Gufay, which is a Chiddush, because again, the Maisa, physically, practically speaking, it didn't come from his Guf. The fact that he was Bayaler, that makes it like it's Tumah Hayetzim Megufay. Okay.
Another interesting point about this.
Okay, so getting back to our new Mahalach, we bring a new source that Balkari has to leave two machnas, not one. The new source is, it says, V'yatza mechus l'machna, that's machna shchina, and lo yove al techa machna, that's machna levia, so he has to be outside two machnas. Ask the Gemara, Amar Lei, Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi said to the one who quoted Baisa, Akati leyalte afikte, Felicia Achrina, some say opposite, Akati afikte yalte. So it's a discussion, and then first we're going to explain these two lines of Gemara. Rashi is Shas Nagirsa, but the Achrinim explain the Gemara fairly straightforward, fairly simple. That the Pasuk is describing him seemingly in opposite locations. He's telling me he has to leave the Machna. That sounds like he already was started in the Machna and became Tamina, he has to leave. Then he tells me he shouldn't go into the Machna. Sounds like he's out of the Machna, and he's just not allowed to go back into the machna. Where is he? Which one is he? Where was he standing that you're giving me two directives that are opposite ideas? Leave the machna or don't come into the machna. Ella ima mechutz la machna zu machna levia leyavel techa machna zu machna shchina. So just read it, meaning he's going to end up with the same ultimate drasha, same outcome. But you read it as follows: mechutz la machna means When it says he has to go outside beyond the Machna, that means outside beyond the Machna Levia. We're talking about a guy that was in Machna Levia. And we're saying he has to leave outside Machna Levia. So the Balkari has to leave now a second Machna. And Le'evetech Machna means, Zemechashchina means, there's a separate warning, don't go the other way. Don't go into the Mokhamer, Mokhadishtik Machna, named the Machna Shchina. Rather, you're in Machna Levia, the person becomes a Balkari, should not go into Machna Shchina. Rather, what should he do? He should leave Machna Levia. And again, our outcome is that you have to be outside of two machnas. So he's coming out with the same outcome, just explaining the scenario that the pasuk is talking about. Maskel v'arvina, ema aydivaydi l'machnas shchina v'lav lo basev loisei. Ask Ravina a bomb kasha. The pasuk says really one's a positive commandment, the yetsi el mechus l'machna, and one's a negative commandment, lo yavo techa machna. So maybe the balkari only has to leave one camp, and you have a lav and a say saying that he has to leave the Machna Shechina. Simple. He only has to be at a Machna Shechina, and maybe it's just a lav and a say, both a Machna Shechina. Who gave you right to learn that one of them is talking about, the lav is talking about not going into Machna Shechina, and the say is telling him to leave Machna Levia, and you're learning out that you have to leave both camps? No, maybe it's both going on one camp, namely Machna Shechina, and the Balkari only has to leave one camp, but the point is, he's over Leisei and a say. Im Kain answers the Gemara, if that would be the case, Lema Krav Yotza Mechutz Machna, V'lo Yavai El Teich. Leave, you should go outside the machna and not go inside. El Teich, first must be, yeah, that should be not just El Teich, El Teichai. The point is, we don't have to stress El Teich HaMachna, the word machna again. HaMachna, lovely, why say the word machna again? Shema Mino, Elitin Le Machna Cher. It comes to teach me that he's got to be outside two machnas. It comes to tell me that it means very specifically he has to leave two machnas, so Balkari has to leave both Machna Shechina and Machna Levia as well. We treat him like a Zav for these purposes, even though the Tum is not as Chomer as a Zav, we treat him like a Zav for these purposes, he has to leave two machnas. Okay. Back in the Mishnah, we were discussing which parts of the Kar Pesach are Deicha Shabbos. So we said the Shechita, the Zrika. So one of the things we listed in the Mishnah was Michui Krevav. The Michui, the crush, the Michui, we touched it in the Mishnah as somehow like the purging the intestines of excrement. So the Gemara now is going to elaborate exactly what it means. Two Pshatim. Both very similar to what we said. My Michui Krevav, what does it mean, Michui Krevav? Avud Amar, Shemnakvim Besakin. That you make a hole in the Krevav with the knife, which allows like the waste, the liquid waste to like ooze out and to flow out from the imurim or from the intestines, from the krevav. Rav Chiya Rav Amar Shirka de Maya de Nafka Agav Duchas de Sakina. It refers to like a slime that's inside the intestines that you scrape off with a knife. So you don't just make a hole and it oozes out. You actually have to take a knife and scrape off this like disgusting slime that's in the intestines, and it only comes out by scraping with a knife. And this is actually to get us into Agata Gemaras. We're going to try to prove that it means a slime. So the word Michui somehow relates to getting rid of a slime. Says Amar Blazer, my time in the Chibrav. What's Bisham Chibrav who says that it means getting rid of a slime? The Chsiv, the Charbais Mechim Gurim Yechelu. Because the Pasuk says in Yeshaya that they ruin the homes of the Mechim, of the fat ones. And the Garim there, they're gonna consume them. The point is, the Pasuk there is using Mechim to, Mechim, which is similar to Michui, to describe the bad people, the people the Mars elaborate in a second, but the people that are not so, that are Rishayim. So why does that mean slime? That means like slimy people. So that's the connection over here, that Michui crave, it means getting rid of the junk from the crave, from the intestines, scraping off the slime. Says Gemara, my mashma, one of the pasuk shows you this interpretation. Can targum erasif, like erasif, targum v'nich Sayem the Rashiya Tzadika Yachsanan. The possessions of the wicked, the Rishayim, were the Mechim, the slimy ones, the Tzadikim will inherit, actually. So the Garm Mechelu, Garm doesn't mean the Garm, the strangers, it means the Tzadikim. Tzadikim will end up inheriting the possessions of the slimy ones. That is his connection to Michui of the intestines in our sugya by Karm Pesach. Okay. Once we quote that pasuk in Yeshaya, we quote the earlier part of the pasuk and we expand on that, and that's going to really take us into this part of today's Agata Gemaras. V'ro kvasim kidvarav. The pasuk says that the sheep will graze kidvarim. Amram Rashi bar Yirmiyah Amarav. What does it mean? Kidvarim kimeduber bum. Like it's said about them. The pasuk says the sheep will graze. It's like the pasuk said about them. Like kimeduber bum. What does it mean? Kimeduber bum. Like it's said about them. Amar Bayev Charav Esmechem Gar Mechelu. It's like we said in the pasuk about the tzaddikim are going to inherit. They're going to go inherit from the rishayim. So that's what's referring to that earlier in the pasuk as well. And the sheep will graze. The kaisel is going to have wealth. They'll be prosperous. They'll be successful. And the tzaddikim will be inheriting the rishayim. So it relates to that part, to that same idea later in the pasuk. Says Gemara, Amalei Rava, Bishlamik Siv. If the pasuk said charavais, like a churva, a ruin, then I would say like you're saying that the pasuk is talking about the promise being fulfilled about the kaliso being prosperous, being wealthy. Hashtag ksiv v'charavais with the vav musachrit kamar. You are by connecting the beginning and end of the pasuk about the tzaddikim inheriting the rishayim and about kaliso being prosperous in the beginning of the pasuk, and that's a fulfillment. Tzaddikim inheriting the rishayim is a fulfillment of the kaliso being prosperous. That's how you're reading the pasuk, but that means the whole pasuk will talk about one clause. But the lashon, the vav of v'charavais, says Rava, again, Rava being the exact wording, here's the exact lettering. The vav v'charavais seems to be saying it's a separate clause in the pasuk, separate concept, not exactly the same, one of the same concept. And therefore, hashtag siv charavis musachrit kamer, it's talking about a different idea. And what is that? Elam harava, kirav chanan elam harav, damarav chanan harav, seed and tzaddikim yichyu es ha-meisim. Tzaddikim themselves are destined to create, to have chiyas ha-meisim, to bring back people from the dead. Ksiv hacha v'ro kvasim kedavram. It says in the pasuk that the sheep will graze as it's said about them. V'chzevasim yur bashan v'gilad k'mayelim. And it said over there, they'll graze in bashan and gilad in the days of old. Now the Gzeir Shav is comparing the word graze to the word graze. And we're connecting, therefore, that there's something to do with this bashan and gilad that's gonna apply here as well. What's bashan and gilad that we're learning from? Bashan is Elisha, habamina bashan. Bashan refers to Elisha, who came from Bashan, who we know brought back. He was Mechayim Mason. Shnemar v'yani v'shavah b'bashan. Ruchsiv pay Elisha ben Shavat. Asher yotzak mayim ade Elio. Here's Elisha ben Shavat, who was poured water on the hands of Elio. So we know Elisha was from Bashan, faith like that pasuk, and Elio also we know was Elio Giladi, of course. Elio was from Gilad. Gilad's Elio, Shnemar v'yam Elio, hatishbi mitayshav Gilad. We know both Elio and Elisha, the pasukim described that they brought back people, they were Mechayim Mason. They brought back people from the dead. And therefore, in comparing this pasuk to a Gzeir Shava of grazing, to a pasuk of Bashan and Gilad, we're saying that Tzadikim will have the power to be Mechayim Mason, loss of love, that's what's going to happen in the more to come. Tzadikim will also have the power to bring people back from the dead. The first one discussed why Elisha is put first in the pasuk in this reference, that before Elio, if he was the Talmud and Elio was the Rebbe, why is he put first? Could be because Legabe, they want to say that Legabe Tchias Mesim, Elisha actually did it twice, and they don't know if he did it once. This pasuk is for Tchias Mesim, and therefore, because he did it twice, therefore he was put first in this pasuk, because the mice know two stories about him, and only one about Elio, that's a potential malach, why the pasuk referenced Bashan before Gilad. Okay. Amar Shabbat Chmein Amar Yenison, Asidim Tzadikim Shichim Mesim, Tzadikim are Asid to Takab Mek Tchias Mesim, Shnemar, Aide Shuz Akenim is Kenis Bechorvis Yishlayim, V'ish mishantai biyade merivyamim. Says they're going to sit in the old man and the old woman in the streets of Yishlayim, each person with a stick in his hand because of his old age. Uchsev. The samti mishantai al pneanar. And it says legavi when Elisha made tchias amesim. It says, and you'll put my stick on the face of the nar, and that will cause the nar to resurrect, to become alive again. So what do you see? A stick is used in tchias amesim. So too, when it says v'ish mishantai biyade, each person with a stick in his hand by aydesh v'zakenes zakenes, it means they can have the power of tchias amesim. Ulurami. Ula asks, once we're totally off on a tangent now, but we're in the topic of Tchias HaMesim, the topic of Tchias HaMesim and of us loving of the world to come, and we got there because the pasuk we quoted to relate to getting rid of the slime, the junk from the Karban Pesach, relates to pasuk of, which ultimately we interpreted into Tchias HaMesim, and that's why we're focusing more on this topic, even though it's completely unrelated to Karban Pesach, of course. Ula Rami Ksiv Bila Alamavis Lanetzach. And one pasuk says, as we say this by Levayas, Bila Mavs Lanetzach, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will conceal death forever, meaning death will no longer, in the world to come, there will no longer be death. There won't be death in the future in Olam Haba. But it says, Kenar Ben Meir Shana Yamas, the Nar will die at 100 years old. So it's saying how long people will live, right? So someone who died at 100 will be called a Nar, means people will be living much longer, but it sounds like they will eventually die. So is Bila Lamavis, will death be wiped out or not? Which one is it? Like Kasha, Kam Yisrael, Kam Evichavim. The answer is, it depends by Yidin or by Gayim. By Yidin, death will cease completely. By Goyim, death won't cease. They'll have much longer lives, but they still will have death. What are Goyim doing in El Maba, Gaim of a place in El Maba, Gemara says yes. The Chsiv v'amdu zarim v'rod zeinichem b'bnei necher akarichem v'kachamechem. It says the zarim, the strangers will stand up and take care of your flax, and they'll plow your vines. They'll take care of your physical needs. They'll work the fields, take care of the animals. So that's the Gaim it's referring to in El Maba. Will be these animals. They'll have a very long life, but they will have death as opposed to the Yidden. Then El Maba will not even have death at all. They'll be no longer be Misa amongst Yidden. Rav Chisda Rambam Chizkiya Stir Ksiv v'chafra halvana ubusha chama. The pasuk says that the moon will be bashed and the sun will be ashamed. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be ruling over the world. It sounds like in the El Maba, this moon and the sun will no longer shine. Right? They're going to be embarrassed and ashamed. They're no longer going to shine. Uchsev, yet it says in the pasuk, "Vayar levana kar chama, var chama kia shvesayim kar shvesayim." It says in the pasuk, the light of the moon will become like the light of the sun. The light of the sun will be like 49 times brighter, shvesayim, 7 times 7, 49 times brighter than the light of the 7 days of creation. So is the light going to be brighter in El Maba, the sun and the moon, or is it not going to shine at all? Which one is it? Like Asha, Kalam Maba, Kalam Es Mashiach. It depends if you're referring to El Maba or you may say Mashiach. The Gemara is actually before the Mar's Kasha. So the Gemara is making a chilek between El Maba and Meisa Mashiach, meaning Meisa Mashiach is still going to have, Olam Haba, these sun and moons, the luminaries are not going to shine, whereas the pasuk which still talks about them shining 49 times the way they shine when the world was created, that's going to be Mimesa Mashiach. That's when it's actually going to be even more intense, the shining of the sun and the moon. Ask the Gemara, and there's the famous Shitas Rambam, is this line of Shmuel? And the Gemara clearly has studim that in our conversation, they go not like Shmuel. But the Gemara asks for Shmuel, and Rambam's pasuk is lemais like Shmuel. Ule Shmuel, the Amar, ain't been a mazel Mimesa Mashiach. El Shiba Malchus Bavad. Shmuel says, when Mashiach comes, it's not going to be different than what we have today. That we're going to live life the same way. The only thing going to be this, none of these wild miracles and isim. It's going to be a regular life without shibud galias. We won't be meshubit to the goyim. We won't be meshubit to the nations around us. But that's all. That's going to be the only major change. So says the Gemara according to Shmuel. Bavad Michael Neymar, what are you telling me that the lights are going to be greater in the Meis of Mashiach? The lights are going to be stronger. Nothing's going to be different according to Shmuel. Answers the Gemara, you're right, according to Shmuel, we have to say that both Pesukim are talking about Mabah. One Pesuk seems to discuss that the lights will no longer will shine. Another Pesuk seems to discuss that the lights will shine brighter. Says Gemara, like, it depends where. In the Machna Shechina, Tak, in the presence of Hashem, which the Pesuk does refer to over there, the sun and the moon will be embarrassed, so to speak, because the light will cease. In the light of a Kadosh Baruch Hu will make the light as if it doesn't exist, the light of the sun and the moon. Whereas in the Machna Tzadikim, then the light of the sun and the moon will still be very bright. To the contrary, it'll be very brighter, 49 times brighter than it was by Bereishis, and over there it'll still be shining. This idea that Rambam says that Ein Bein, I mean, it's Shmuel really. So the Mefarshim asks some basic, Rambam himself already addresses some basic questions. The Pesukim and the Navi describe at the wolf and the lamb will lie together in peace. Normally in this world, a wolf and a lamb lie together. The lamb's going to be dinner for the wolf before long. And here, the Pesukim describe that it's almost this utopian world where the wolf and lamb will lie together. Isn't that clear that there will be more changes than just Shibud Galias? So Rambam himself explains it's a metaphor. It's a metaphor right for peace. It's a metaphor that Klai Yisrael is like the lamb and the nations around them are like the wolf that are always attacking. And the lie together is a metaphor that's going to be peace, but not more than that. Not more than that. That is Rambam's interpretation. Ravid argues and says, "What do you mean?" Ravid argues and says, "We know the pasuk says in Devarim, Hishpati Chai Roman Aretz. There's going to come a time where I'm going to get rid of. There won't be any wild animals in the land. It's going to be very peaceful. So that clearly connotes more of a utopian time where there's much much bigger changes in the world, not just lack of Shibud Galias, as I affect the Ravid. So the Farshim asks on the Ravid, Rambam already answered your question. Rambam already answered that it's a mushel. It's a mushel to peace between the neighbors. That's what it is. So Hishpati Chai Roman Aretz also. Why don't we just explain? It's a mushel that there will no longer be wild animals, so to speak, nations of the world tormenting the Yidden. That's all, but not that the shinui of Seder Teva is going to happen. Don't touch it literally; touch it figuratively, referring to Shiva Golias. So, what is the Raivas Kasha of the Rambam? That is a question that the Mefarshim are bothered by. So, there's a beautiful pshat from Reuven Margolis, Big Yisaid, where he says that to explain the pasuk of the wolf and the lamb lying together, that's okay. That you can explain that idea as a medrash, as a mushel. However, a pasuk in the Torah itself, a pasuk of Shpati Chayar Amin Aretz, that's a pasuk in the Torah itself to explain the pasuk away, the simple taich, as a mushel of peace amongst the nations with Klai Yisrael. but not to take the simple taich, which means it won't be wild animals anymore. That's we don't say that. We don't take away a simple taich of a pasuk and interpret it with a mushel in the chumash. And therefore, Raivad was asking, if you actually look at the lashon of the Raivad, it's beautifully meduyek. Raivad's lashon is kasav b'Torah. What's the Rambam saying? There won't be a utopian world. There won't be nisim happening. It says in the Torah. He's stressing Raivad's ass bothered. It's a very nice answer for elsewhere out of the Torah itself. But if it says a chumash b'Torah, then you're stuck with it. Then you can't interpret it as a mushel, and that is the Raivad's kasha on Rambam. Okay, zok the Gemara weiter. Rav Chisda Rami, Rav Chisda, no, we saw that, sorry. Rav Rami, we're up to Rav Rami. Rav Yasastira, Ksiv Ani Ames Fechya. Kosh Baruch Hu says, I put to death, and I make live. Ksiv Mechatsi Ben Arapa. And it says in the Pasuk, that in the same Pasuk, I wounded and I heal. Hashachim Mechayim Rapa Lekoshkin. It's a little bit of a letdown. You're telling me that Kosh Baruch Hu describes the Pasuk that he brings back to life those that are dead. So then you're going to praise also those that are wounded, he heals. If you bring people that are dead back to life, certainly you can heal those that are wounded. Elam HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mashani Memes, Ani Mechayim, Kamesh Mechatsiyev, Ani Rapa. It's like an explanation, it's like a mushel. That when I put to death, I can make alive, meaning just like when a person is wounded, I heal the person, and the heal comes from the wound. The same person that was healed, that was wounded, he gets healed, and it comes internally. So too, when a person is Memes, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Memes, he's Mechaya, that very same person. It's not something new, it's not a different entity, it's the very same person. Tanar Rabbanan. Ani Ames Vechia, I cause to live and I cause death, says the positive, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yachem Yisavechem V'chaim Echad K'derech Shom Leig. It would think that it's referring to inflicting death upon one person and giving life to another person, two different people. Tam Leimar, Mechasi V'na Arpe. Therefore the positive ends off and says, I heal, I wound and I heal. Ma makar fu bechad, just like the wound and healing is only happening to the person that's wounded. That's talking about one person. Af misa v'chayim bechad, it's talking about one person. It's talking about misa, death, and then reawakening, all happening within the same person. Mekan shu b'leimim ein t'chis ha-meis ha-meis. This taish of the pasuk ani ames vechya is a true to those that say that there's no source of chiz meisim min ha-Torah. Here we have a source based on the interpretation of the words of ani ames vechya that chiz meisim is min ha-Torah. Davar achar, another pshat from this pasuk comparing chiz meisim to a healing a wound. Another taich is that Kosh Baruch Hu says, first I'll resurrect the dead. And then, even once they're resurrected, people that may have died, they may have died with illnesses, like Rashi says, let's Rashi the page. People died, they were lame. When they died, they weren't able to walk. When they died, they weren't able to see. I'm going to do Tchias HaMesim, and I'm going to heal them from the illnesses that they had when they died. So they'll be brought back to life, and then the illness they had will be taken away as well. So that's why the pasuk stresses two things. Kosh Baruch Hu is stressing that he brings back for the dead, and that he heals those that died with physical ailments, those who were healed as well. Top of Ambez. Hekta Chalav, we said in the Mishnah, that the Hekta the Chalavim can be done on Shabbos, the Deicha Shabbos, to be Makta Chalavim of the Pesach. There's a Chiddush. First Mishnah in Shas, we discuss, one of the things that can be done till Amud HaShachar, till the morning, includes Hekta Chalavim Mevarim, as one of the things that can be done till the morning. So why are we doing it on Shabbos? Why is it being Deicha Shabbos? Do a Matzah Shabbos. Why are you doing it on Shabbos? That's Gemara Tanya, Amr Pshimin, Beirei Kam Chaviv Mitzvah Shaita. See how beautiful a mitzvah in its time is? Shari Hekta Chalavim Mevarim is a bit, you're saying, if it's place we discussed different scenarios of mitzvahs that one mitzvah is delayed, another mitzvah is being done on time. Is the mitzvah on time? Does it take precedence over the mitzvah is delayed or not? The classic case where they discuss the shayla actually is by Bris Mila. It's a shach. Discussing by Bris Mila that was delayed, and a person now is getting a pidyon ben. So the child is getting a pidyon ben. He's up to the 30th day already. Bris Mila was delayed, and he doesn't have a meal yet. Do you go and now let's say you just became able to have a meal done. Doctor just assessed him and he's okay. Do you specifically go and do the meal first? Do you say, Chaviv is b'shaite? The mitzvah meal is ready, the mitzvah pidyon ben is right now b'shaite, and the psak is very clearly that the meal goes first. And the question is why? What happened to the idea in our Gemara of Chaviv is b'shaite? That is the question. Why don't we let the pidyon ben go first? So the Shach wants to explain, I think it was the Shach, who says it, that the idea is that being having bris mila is part and parcel of becoming, of being a yid, of having is completing a status of being a yid, and it doesn't make sense to do the pidyon ben before completing a status of mila. So you're right, the pidyon ben is b'shaita, but the mitzvah of pidyon ben will be better kiyum if the mila is already done. Others want to say that what's shaita of pidyon ben? The 30th day. So at any point, the whole 30th day. So there's no shaita, there's no one specific minute, and therefore it's fine to do the mila first. Okay, that's all based on the idea of chaviv mitzvah shaita. What are we saying about in our sugya? Even though the hekta chalav evarim are allowed to be done till the morning, since the mitzvah is to do it on Shabbos day, that's the mitzvah when you bring the Korban Pesach, you do it right away that day. Chaviv al chaviv mitzvah shaita, it's day chashabbos. That's Gemara. I'm Rav Shem Vary Kamer chaviv mitzvah shaita. See how wonderful mitzvah is in its time. Shari hekta chalav evarim uftarim kshen kol laila. The akhtara of Evarim, epiderm is kasher, the limbs is kasher full the whole night. But we don't even wait till nightfall, forget about to do it throughout the night. We do it right away on Shabbos itself. We spoke on the Mishnah. We had three categories. We had the categories of things that are for sure Deicha Shabbos, like we just listed. The Shrita, Zrika, cleaning the Michui, and the Haktaris Evarim, that's all Deicha Shabbos. We had a categories of things that are for sure not Deicha Shabbos. And then we have things that are part of, that are left in a Machlekes. Here are the things left in Machlekes. Hakavasei, Vavasei, carrying the animal into the base of Mikdash, taking it from outside the Tchum. We're not going to focus on those. We're going to focus on the V'chule, which is the Yabelis. Yabelis was the cutting off a wart. Cutting off a wart, so the Tanakhama said that that could be done on Shabbos, and the Mandamer said it cannot, opposite. Tanakhama said it cannot be done on Shabbos, and Rabbi Lezer says it could be done on Shabbos. V'ramini, ask more Asira. Chaytri Yabelis, our Mishnah is saying very clearly that you cannot take off the Yabelis. We learned the mission in Erevin, Chaytri Yabelis Mikdash, Avay Medina. One can cut off the wart of the animal, of the kachim, with his hand, but not in the Mikdash, but not in the Medina. Vim Bekli, and if he wants to use a Kli, then it's Usur, Kan V'Kan Usur. It's Usur both here and in the Mikdash. What do you see from this Mishnah? We see that you're allowed to take off the Yabels and Shabbos, at least by hand. The Tanakam of our Mishnah says that no, you cannot take off the Yabels at all. Why is Tanakam of our Mishnah at odds with the Mishnah Erevin? The Mishnah Erevin is more lenient and allows taking off, at least by hand, the wart from a carbon. Says the Gemara, Blazer Beis B'Chanina, Chadamer, Aydivay Dibiyad, Abalaycha, Lacha, Vivesha. One will give an answer between a Blazer and a Beis B'Chanina. We don't know who says what, but one answers that both cases talk about Biyad. And it depends if it's moist or not, right? When it's moist, that's considered like your mom is detaching something that's alive, and that's a problem. When it's dry, it's just crumbling off, and therefore not an issue. Havalacha, habiyavesha. The Chanam, the other one gives a different answer. Both Mishnayos talking about where this yabelis, this wort, is moist. V'leikasha, habiyad, habikli. It depends if using yad or a kli. To use a yad is taka permissible, to use a kli is usser, and that's our Mishnah is referring to isser of using a kli. The Mishnah over there that was being made is referring to doing it biyad. L'man damar, habiyad, habikli. My time, l'ma, aydi, biyad. The Mishnah is bothered. The one is making a chilip between yad and kli. Why don't you make a chilip between moist and dry? Why don't you say they're talking about that we're talking about where both are talking about biyad, and when it's moist it's a problem, when it's dry it's not a problem. Amalach yivesha mifepircha. Yivesha crumbles away, meaning cutting it off has to be considered cutting it off to even get into debate whether it's mutter or not, biyad or bakli. But if it's mamish dried out, it just crumbles off. You're not taking anything off. It's not called a you're not being tailish anything. You're not removing anything really, and therefore it wouldn't even be a shaila. The one that says that both mishnayos talking about biyad, and the one that says that's us is talking about when it's moist. The one that says it's mutter to get rid of the yabel, it's talking about when it's dry. My time, Amar, why do you say both talking about when it's moist and it's a real yabel, it's a real wort, but like. It's not fair. The Mishnah says us are talking about we're doing it b'kli. That's our Mishnah. And the Mishnah says that says his mutter is talking about where he's done biyad. Why didn't he say that answer? Amalach kli haktani asam. In b'kli kam v'kan asar. Because the Mishnah says the word kli. If it's a kli, it's us in both places. Since the Mishnah spoke about kli, it's fair that our Mishnah would be repeating the same halacha and saying that it's us to use a kli. That mission specifically said Kli already, and therefore our mission stopped saying it didn't have Kli, and stopped Mistaver, and therefore he didn't want to learn that the Chilik in the Mishnayos is whether or not it's dry or moist. He wanted to learn the Chilik is whether it's a Kli or not. He wanted to learn the Chilik is whether it's dry or moist. V'idach, the other man will say, Hadik Tani Kli, Hacha, this is his Kli over here, is Plukta Drablazar Bishua Aslash Binan. You're right, we are repeating the case of Kli. That said right over the air, but it's a machlekes. It's a machlekes to a mishnah between Yeshua and Rav Lazar, and he wanted to bring in the machlekes, and therefore we spoke about a case of Kli, which is already spoken about, in order to bring in the machlekes, but it's not a raya that we're not talking about a case of Kli. I'm Rav Lazar. Umam Shchita. So the Mishnah in the conversation with Rav Lazar and Rav Yeshua, Rav Lazar says to Rav Yeshua, that if Shchita, which is Issa Deraisa, on Shabbos, the Shchita's carbon based on Erev Pesach, is Deicha Shabbos, Nisad Raisa certainly shouldn't be Deicha Issa Drabbanans, like carrying out for outside the Tchum or carrying it with Chayne Sasatzmai. So certainly the Drabbanan should be Nitchas. So Rishu responded, Rishu said back that no, you can't compare. Don't compare the case of Yomtiv. Don't go. He brought a rife. Rishu went and brought a rife for Yomtiv and said, not true. We have Eichel Nefesh, which is Melachah D'Oraisa, is Mutar Yantiv. Yet there are abundance, for example, something from outside the Tchum, which you could have brought in yesterday, will not be Deich Yantiv. We see a D'Oraisa being pushed aside a Yantiv, and pushing Yantiv away, the races, whereas the drabbanans of tchum are not pushed away. So you don't be a kash over here. And that was Rishu's response. Says the Rishu's avay damar simchas yantiv nami mitzvi. Rishu, according to his reasoning, he says that simchas yantiv is a mitzvah. Right? Rabbi Blazer says, what's your raya for simchas yantiv? Simchas yantiv, the whole thing's Rishu's there anyway. Don't be raya. Rabbi Shua held as a raya because he held that simchas yantiv is a mitzvah. The Tanya Blazer Omer, ein leil adam the adam biyamtiv elo eichlav v'sheisa. Very interesting shita for Blazer. A person has to do either or on Yantiv. He's got to pick. Either treat Yantiv as if he's a full day of his own, of indulgence, so to speak, eat and drink, or sit in the Torah, make it fully Lashem. One or the other, not a mix. Rabbi Shoimer, Chalkeo split it. Chetzi lachila, ushtia, chetzi beisim medrash. Half a day should be set aside for learning and eating. Half the day should be set aside for eating and drinking. I'm sorry. And half the day should be set aside for learning. From Rabbi Yechon and Shemek Hakadosh, they both are saying pasuk ksivecha kasvecha emir atzeres Lashem elikecha. One pasuk says it's atzeres Lashem elikecha. Ksivecha kasvecha emir atzeres yelachem. Is it an atzeres for Hashem or is it atzeres for you? Now the truth. There's really two different Yom Tovim. One's talking about Shemini Atzeres and one's talking about Shavuos. So you could have explained that one of them is the Atzeres is Stam Atzeres is for you, right? That's Shavuos. And when the pasuk says Atzeres Hashem Lekecha on Shemini Atzeres, that means it's Hashem. You could have answered that, but that's not any answers. Rabbi Blazer says, "Aikula Hashem, Aikula Chem." Rabbi Blazer says, "What the pasuk tell me is pick or choose." Make it a kul Hashem or kulay lachem. Rabbi Shua says, "Chalkei chatzil Hashem, chatzil lachem." Rabbi Shua says, "Split it half Hashem and half lachem. Split it, which is what we do. Split it and do some and some." Let me ask the discussion in the first that what if a person has to fast on Yantiv because he had a bad dream? And we know when a person has a bad dream, he fasts. So there's a I forgot who says it. One of the Achronim say, in such a case, he should actually make sure to spend the whole day learning. Because once he is anyway not doing lachem, so he should subscribe to the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, who says ay kul lachem, ay kul Hashem, and therefore he should spend all day learning and dedicating his day to Hashem. That's what some Achronim speak out. Others argue and say no that just because he's fasting, fakir for him, fasting is a tainig, not an inoy. Because for him, we've actually had this idea in the past that for him, because he has a bad chalem and he wants to. Get rid of the powers, the chalim, for him fasting is not a tzara, for him fasting is actually a simcha, because it helps relieve him from his fear of his dream, and therefore that would be considered lechem as well. Amar Rabbi Lazar. How come the matzaras to be nam lechem? Everyone agrees that on Shavuos you need lechem. Ironically enough, Shavuos the day of Matan Torah. Everyone agrees. There's a lot of rain on this, but one of the most basic ideas is that the point is that Torah was given to Klal Yisrael, to humans, it's not in Shemayim. That's what we saw in Shavuos. The fact that Torah, we'll speak more about that a few lines for now in the Gemara, that the fact that the Torah was given to Klal Yisrael, to Yidden, that's what we're celebrating. And therefore, we want to have a physical, there's a physical element to our celebration. It's not given to B'nai Melachim. Torah is not meant for B'nai Melachim, it's meant for humans. Hakam Ma'in Ma'teres B'nai Na'am Melachim, Ma'itayma, Yem Shinu by Torah, the day the Torah was given. So everyone agrees Shavuos needs lachem. Why? Because that was the day the Torah was given. Shavuos typically in the base of the Pesukim is really 50 days from the Aimer, 50 days from Pesach. You bring a minch chadash, you bring another minch Hashem, a minch that's mater, the chadash in the Mizbeach, in the base of Migdash. So you're bringing a minch chadasha on Shavuos. That's the Torah's description. Nothing to do with being matan Torah. But Rabbi Leza says that it's not punk, it doesn't just happen. It's not happenstance, even though Torah does refer to as Matan Torah. That is the day of Matan Torah, and therefore you need Lechem in the celebration of Shavuos as well. Says Gemara, Amar Rabba, Komayim the Shabbos being Lam Lechem. Everyone agrees, Shabbos needs Lechem, Maitaima. For Christ the Shabbos, Ainig, Pastor, for Christ the Shabbos, Ainig, Shabbos, Ainig, and Shabbos. Amar Beis Fakomayim the Papurim the Lam Lechem. Everyone agrees that I'm Purim the Lechem. Why? You may Mishta Vesimcha, Ksebe. Says the Megillah, you may Mishta Vesimcha. Marbury Ravina, Kulashai to have a Yasa, Tanisa. Mar the son of Ravina would sit all year in a fast. Levar Matzat Purim, Malis Yom Kippurim. He would fast all year round except for Shavuos, Atzarta, Purim, and Erev Yom Kippur. Atzeres Yom Shinu B'Tayra Purim. Shavuos is the day Torah was given. Therefore, he didn't fast that day. Puraya Purim. You may Mishta V'Simcha, because like I quoted before, it's days of Simcha and Mishta in the Megillah, and therefore you can't fast. Mali, Yemi, Kipuri, the Kipuri, Tanim Chiba, Rav Medifti, Venisbeth of Shadecha, Matishal Chedesh, Chibetisha, Misanen, Haliba, Siri, Misanen, Lemlcha, Kalech of Shes, Petishabai, Malavakas of Kilim, Misanen, Petishi, Vasiri. Famous Drasha, it says you should fast from Erev, Erev at Erev. You don't fast from Erev at Erev. You don't fast from the 9th. You only fast on the 10th. So what's the pasuk coming to refer? It's telling me one who eats on the 9th is Malav Akasav as if he fasts the 9th and the 10th. So there's a mitzvah to eat on the 9th. And because of that drash, because of that mitzvah, so Ravina, who fasted all year round, would not fast on Erev and Kippur. He would not fast on Purim. And he would not fast on Shavuos. Rav Yosef Kriyam Tarta, Rav Yosef on the day of Shavuos would say, just to point out, the Shavuos is the day you can't fast, you have to celebrate, it's the day of Mantera. So here's a famous member of Rav Yosef, we've quoted this many times within the in our Shmuz about Rav Yosef being the ultimate Anav. Rav Yosef was the ultimate Anav, yet look what he says over here. Rav Yosef, Miyam Tarta Amar, Avdili Iglatosa, make for me a calf that's third born, either means it's third to its mother, or it's a third of its growth, or it's in its third year, different halchim, but bring me it's a very tasty, choice calf. Bring that to me. Amar, you know why? Ilav hayayma de kagarim kama yesevika b'shugay. If not for today that causes, how many yeses will be in the shug? This Gemara is going to continue, but in general, but we're gonna just drop off to it. But I'm gonna stop because I want to point out a very very big insight on this. Ilav hayayma kama yesevika b'shugay. It's a very interesting poetic lashon. He could have said, if not for matan taira, ilav taira, ilav matan taira. Ilav hayayim, if not for this day, kamesivik b'shugi. So there's a beautiful pshat from the Beis Levi from others that explain that we celebrate Shavuos. If you look at the calendar, we celebrate Shavuos on the sixth of Sivan. We Paskin, we take on like a Basi, we take on that the Matan Torah is actually on the seventh of Sivan. So we celebrate Shavuos on the sixth. That's again going back to what we said before. The Torah describes 50 days. That's the count. That's when the Michal Tesh was brought. Nothing to do with Matan Torah. But our Gemara is clearly saying that Shavuos does relate to Matan Torah. We seem to be celebrating the Matan Torah a day early, a day off. Says the Mefarshim that we're not celebrating it a day off. The Achrayim will explain. We're celebrating the day before Matan Torah. Why? Because if you know, we know that the Kadosh Baruch Hu said that people should separate from their wives for 2 days to prepare for Matan Torah. And Moshe Rabbeinu was Maisiv a day. He said, no, let them separate 3 days. Let people prepare for 3 days. Haisiv Yamechem and Daitim, Moshe Rabbeinu added a day. And Kadosh Baruch Hu was Hiskim, it was Maskim. He agreed to Moshe Rabbeinu to add 1 day. Therefore, we're celebrating that day. We're not celebrating the Shavuot itself, even we're celebrating that day, because that day cements the fact that we got the Kayach of Psak, that Moshe Rabbeinu said a suggestion. Akash Baruch Hu listened to Moshe Rabbeinu, so to speak. So the Kayach of Psak was given over from Shemayim to Bnei Adam, to Basav Adam, to Moshe Rabbeinu, and we're celebrating, therefore, the power of that day. That's Ilav Hayayma Kam Yesav Ikabashuki. If not for that day, how many Yesus would there be in the market? Meaning, we're celebrating not the day of Shavuot itself, per se, the day before Shavuot, we're celebrating that day. And by the way, again, just came back to that point of Anivus, so Yesus says, not for the day, how many Yesus it doesn't sound like a very humble statement. He's saying, if not for that day, I'd be another Yesuf. I wouldn't be Rabbi Yesuf the God Aldar, I'd be another Yesuf. It's true, and he's stressing the fact that we got to where he got to because of Torah and because of Amazal Torah, all true, but would not seem to be an ultimate level of Anivus. Just to leave off for the question, I'm not going to say the answers, we're out of time, but to leave off for the question on this related, the last Gemara in Saita, literally the last line in Saita, the Gemara says that Mishamesa Fgaru, Batla, Anava, Anivus was gone from, I think, Rebbe or from, when the Mishnah says, one of the Tanaim died, there no longer was Anava in the world. Amar Rabbi Yasif says, Ikana, what do you mean Anivus is gone? I'm still around. I'm around. How can you tell me Anivus is gone? I'm around. I'm Rav Yosef. I'm a huge Anav, and I'm around. How can you tell me Anivus is gone? Obvious question is, that seems to fly in the face of Anivus. Seems to be exactly opposite. Okay, there's also a 30% of the past, but we'll leave it with a question for now. Maybe more time tomorrow, we'll focus on it more.